This episode contains graphic descriptions of crime scenes, which may be disturbing to some listeners.
This is a special bonus Behind the Badge episode, where we pull back the curtain to expose the often untold real-life stories of law enforcement. And today we're bringing you the story of a brave young man with a promising career, who at the age of 23 had already distinguished himself as a role model. A man who would put himself in harm's way to protect others.
This is APB Behind the Badge. Here's your host, former police chief Mark Spahn.
Even as a kid, Anthony Dwyer knew exactly what he wanted to be when he grew up.
From a young age, always said he wanted to be a cop, and there were no cops in our family, but he wanted to be one. And one time I remember he wanted to borrow money from my husband for something. I don't know what it was for. It wasn't a lot of money. My husband said, sure. And he said, I'll pay you back when I become a cop. He was probably 12 years old at the time.
That was Anthony's mom, Marge Dwyer. She told me that Anthony was very serious about reaching his goal of becoming a police officer with the NYPD. Again, here's Marge Dwyer.
And then they had the police test and he decided to take it. He just became 100% student. He was going to the library constantly reading, making sure he'd be able to pass it, and it was the greatest day of his life, the day he graduated from the police academy.
Anthony's younger brother, Andy, also joined the NYPD. He told me that his brother would go out of his way to lend a hand. Here's Andy Dwyer.
He taught religious instruction at the church by us. He was a volunteer fireman, and, you know, he was always helping. And there's one like example, which, you know, the guy that was in his high school with him that he was friends with, and the guy got into an accident and he was in a coma for a while. And Anthony went to see him every day to sit by his side, rubbed his hands, you know, they said he could feel you and everything. And the guy came out of his coma and Anthony was with him even that. He was in the hospital with him, and the guy went home and Anthony was kind of taking care of the guy. Always about, you know, taking care of other people.
Anthony Dwyer lived to help others. That's who he was. Being a police officer was a perfect fit for the man who wanted to help the vulnerable and stop those who would prey upon them. There's a McDonald's restaurant on 7th Ave at 40th Street near Times Square in New York City. It was just after 3 in the morning on October 17, 1989, when three armed suspects broke through the locked doors. At gunpoint, robbers rounded up several terrified employees who were working the overnight shift. A couple of them managed to get away and call police. The first two officers on scene were 23-year-old Anthony Dwyer and 30-year-old Jerry Kane. Jerry Kane remembers that call.
A couple of us rolled in there. These perpetrators were looking to do a burglary. Didn't realize that there'd be employees in the place. These kids are all minimum wage kids. The perps had guns. Some of the employees got to get out. That's how we showed up.
As the officers entered the restaurant, the suspects fled. One of them ran toward the back of the restaurant and up a ladder. Officer Dwyer chased the robber up three stories to the roof. The suspect was now cornered and had nowhere to go. Here's Jerry Kane.
And the perp kicked him off the roof of the building. He fell into a gap. The news accounts at the time described it as an air shaft. I think I might have even put it over as an air shaft when I called it in. But it was really just a space between four different buildings. He was about 30 feet down.
Dwyer was conscious at first, and he was able to tell Officer Kane what happened, how he chased the suspect to the rooftop and grabbed him by the leg, and then being kicked off of the roof by the suspect. But the rescue was difficult. It took about 40 minutes for teams to extricate Officer Dwyer from the bottom of the shaft.
They had to break a hole into the next building, fire department, and our police emergency services unit, which is our rescue guys.
Officer Kane jumped into the ambulance with Dwyer, who was now in critical condition. As they raced to the hospital, Officer Dwyer went into cardiac arrest, and the medics began CPR. Anthony's mother remembers that night when she and her husband got a knock at the door.
It was like you hear a knock at your door, you're saying, who the hell's knocking at my door in the middle of the night? And you look out the window and you see two cops standing there, and they came in and said, there had been an accident. Your son was involved in an accident. He was hurt. And we'd like to take you into the city. And I said, what happened? Did he fall? And they said, well, we don't know all the details. And my husband and I quickly got dressed and got in a police car with them. And they drove into the city. And these two cops were absolutely wonderful. They just kept talking and talking about anything, I guess, to keep our mind off it. And we kept asking questions. And they said, oh, we don't know. They had their radio turned off, so we couldn't hear anything. And we got to Midtown Tunnel, and it was like they had almost like closed the tunnel down so that we could go through, and brought us to Bellevue Hospital.
Doctors at Bellevue tried to revive the young officer, but they couldn't save him. Officer Dwyer died at 4:50 a.m., less than 2 hours after the robbery call came in.
It was shocking. It really was, like, unbelievable. And you say, my God, I just saw my son a few hours ago when he was fine, and now he's gone.
Maureen Brissett is the youngest of the Dwyer siblings. She was devastated when she got the news that her hero brother had died.
I was the only girl. I was the youngest of four. And he was just my hero. I was 11 when he passed away, but he would take me to the stores. I would hang out with all, you know, when his friends started having babies, I was obsessed with little kids, and he would always take me with, you know, to meet the babies, and just was that guy. You know, when people say, oh, that was such a great guy after someone dies, he was that guy.
Officer Jerry Kane had stayed with his squad mate all the way from the rooftop to the ER. He will never forget that night.
He was a religious kid. He was a very, very faithful kid. And I gave him his last rites at the hospital. I didn't, and they were like the best I could do. I didn't know what prayer to say. So I did a Hail Mary and an Our Father. And hopefully I did the right thing for him.
The brave police officer who at the young age of 23 had touched so many lives, tragically had his life taken from him. Again, here's Anthony's brother, Andy Dwyer.
Always helping people, and you always hear good stories about being a volunteer fireman, seeing teaching at the religion class, seeing helping his high school friend that was in a coma, and that he was there for him the entire time, willing to and wanting to help everybody.
Anthony's sister Maureen was at a gathering several years later. The group was introducing themselves to each other. One of the people in the room with Maureen was a relative of the man who Anthony helped get through his coma.
And then we were at my friend, had a house in Hunter Mountain, and we're there, we're all just talking. It was guys and girls, some we didn't know. And we're just talking, and the guy asked me, we were saying last names or where we grew up, so I told him my last name, and his face dropped. And he said his cousin was the guy that my brother taught how to walk. I don't know if he met my brother, but he said he was heartbroken when Anthony died because he knew his cousin was able to walk again because of my brother.
And the description of the events that Officer Dwyer had relayed to his friend, Jerry Kane, as he lay mortally injured, would be a key part of the trial against the suspects, and particularly against the suspect who kicked the young officer from the rooftop.
I had taken his dying declaration. That's legally his last words, and I got to give those words in court a year later.
All told, four suspects were arrested for murder of a police officer, assault, burglary, and attempted robbery, as well as gun charges. The suspect who directly caused Officer Dwyer's death was convicted of murder, burglary, and attempted robbery. In the spring of 2023, the incarcerated man was up for parole on his 25 years to life sentence. Some reports indicate that there was a split decision by the parole board on whether to grant parole. But according to state records and Anthony's family, Anthony's killer is still incarcerated, with his next parole hearing scheduled for the summer of 2024. Anthony's mom and dad founded an organization with another couple, the Hansons, who lost their son, who died during an NYPD training exercise in New York Harbor. The Deceased Officers Parents Association works through the PBA to provide support to parents who went through the same heartbreak as the Dwyers and the Hansons in losing a son or daughter in the line of duty.
We started
started this with another family, the Hansons. We met them, unfortunately, at their son's wake and became more than friends. We were like family. And we would attend offices, wakes, funerals, you know, together. And people would ask us, like the parents would say, is there a group for parents? And we said, no, but we give them our number. Give us a call if you want to talk. And then we decided, you know what, we're doing this. Let's see if we can get the PDA to help us and get an organization going that we could have a dinner just so that these parents could get together and talk. And the PBA was 100% behind us. We invited all these parents to come. A lot of people were hesitant. And once they got there, you're sitting in a room with people who have been through the same thing you are. And I said, I hope you don't think when you walk in we're just going to be sitting there crying. You know, we've all been through this, and people will cry, but we will also laugh and just talk to each other. And it was nice that everyone had a chance to, like, say, oh, my God, you understand what I've been through. And we received letters saying, thank you so much. It was so nice to sit with other people who have been through the same thing we were, and they understood what we were going through.
That was Marge Dwyer. Again, here's Anthony's sister, Maureen Brissett.
When they do their dinners, they're in a room with 100 other people that have experienced, could be to the exact same thing you dealt with. Life does go on.
The Deceased Officers Parents Association is a network of families who have experienced similar tragedies. The work of the Dwyers, the Hansons, the PBA, and so many others continues today, offering comfort and support to others who have suffered the loss of an NYPD officer. It represents what Anthony was all about. Here's Andy Dwyer.
He definitely was in it to help people out, to do good for people.
More than 30 years have passed since we lost Anthony, but he's not forgotten, not by family, friends, colleagues, or the many people who've been helped by Anthony's legacy through the Deceased Officers Parents Association. This episode is dedicated in honor of the heroic service of Officer Anthony Dwyer.
You're listening to APB Behind the Badge, an original Spawn Group production. Send your comments to APB Behind the Badge at spawngroup.com.